Welcome to the Millennial Soul Food Podcast, Episode 44, 2024 Astrology Updates and Black History Month. Oh, Jesus. Enjoy. What's good, y'all? We are back for season 3. Yes, period. So it's been about September since I did a show. And you know, whenever I got something to say, that's when I come back through. But in the meantime, what have I been up to since the last show? Oils, Lord Jesus. Over the past few months, I've really been focused on perfecting my oils. I got an Ifa reading actually years ago. I think this was almost 3 years ago that I got this Ifa reading, and it told me to start working with herbs, and I'm just now really getting around to it. Specifically working with oils and herbs, and I actually launched my first oil back in, I think it was around November. Those have been doing super well. I had a clove oil actually that I first released, and I blessed that during a specific saint's holiday. I think it was Archangel Michael. Yeah, it was Archangel Michael's holiday. And during those times, those are great times to bless items, are great times to bless spiritual items along with venerating that saint. But I did a specific Archangel Michael clove oil. After that, I did an Evil Eye and Hateration Reversal oil. That one had like 8 ingredients in it almost. There's still 6 available, I think, in the store. I also have a hyssop oil. Soon I'm going to be coming out with a Louisiana Van oil. And I have a few others that I'm going to be coming out with. So stay tuned to those. Subscribe to the newsletter if you haven't already, because that is where you can stay in the know about everything that I have going on, period. And thank you so much to everyone who has purchased these oils. Y'all have really surprised me. Of course, y'all already know. I have a whole book of just like different recipes and stuff like that. Shout out to the Louisiana Hoodoo Voodoo Workbook, Denise Alvarado. She has a lot of really great recipes in there. And then I use a few other books just as sources. And then I add my little own kind of, you know, my own little twist to those recipes based in my own knowledge of and experience with Mississippi Hoodoo. So yeah, just look out for those oils. They've been doing really well. Thank you so much. Also, during the time that I was out from the podcast, I've really just been thinking about new directions that I want to go in. And I really want to begin incorporating more sociological themes, along with, you know, of course, the occult themes. But I do want to start doing more things around sociology just to keep it fresh for myself and fresh for everybody else. There's a lot that's happening right now in the world, Lord Jesus. Let me take a sip for that. It's a lot that's been happening in the world since September. Specifically Pluto in Aquarius. I know that it's been a lot of different content creators talking about Pluto in Aquarius. I kind of got a little bit too much of it. It was oversaturated, but I did want to cover it for the show just because this is where you can get your astrology news and stuff like that. But it is a very, very important transit. I'm not even going to downplay it, so that's the reason you saw it everywhere. I'm going to go over a little bit of the history of it. But first, I did want to talk about Black History Month. When I tell you this Black History Month has been nothing short of the foolery, where do we start? Because it's been a build up to the foolery of this month. It feels like the media is just out here throwing all kinds of stories out. Rachel Dolezal is all out here trolling hoes. I'm thankful for the Cassie stuff that happened. That did not happen during Black History Month, but listen, I'm leading into it. Cassie did set off a wave with that case against Diddy. Now, we didn't hear him say nothing. This is all alleged. Everything I'm talking about is alleged, so don't be out here trying to sue me. But Cassie did kind of set off a wave, and it's interesting because that one psychic, what was her name? Let me look up her name. Predicts Cassie. Was it Sloan? I believe it was Sloan Bella. Yeah, she is who came out last year, I believe, and mentioned that November as a time when Diddy would be having more stuff come out about him. But she did start a whole wave, and since Cassie came out with all that news, I'm not going to go into all of it because some of it is kind of triggering, but since she came out with all that news, baby, it's been a lot coming out from people on different sets, talking about getting essayed, from people coming out talking about wages, talk about unfair treatment in Hollywood. A lot of this has to do with Pluto in Aquarius and the fact that we are entering a new age. I do specifically want to really go in on the Monique case too. Also, Monique as a person is not perfect. Nobody is perfect in any of these situations. But I do want us to think about the fact that a lot of these cases really are breaking down the notion of quote-unquote Black excellence. And it's really also showing the fact that a lot of Black celebrity is aspirational towards a kind of lifestyle and it supports a system that has always been detrimental to Black people who are not wealthy as hell, or who do not even want to ascribe to the different things that they ascribe to in terms of what is known as excellence, quote unquote excellence. Think about Oprah Winfrey, Monique, Tyler Perry, Taraji. Now listen, all this is alleged, but we getting into some tea. So listen, Monique came out on Club Shay Shay. Now, people do be talking about the way that he interviews. I'm not really that big of a fan sometimes because he be asking the same questions over and over again. I'd be like, now, Uncle Shay Shay, you just asked him that, you know, but he has a really big platform. I'm really glad that she was able to go on there and talk. So she went on there and spilled a lot of tea. It was about 3 hours. Go watch it if you have not already, because this is hella Pluto and Aquarius stuff. The secrets are coming out. Not only did she talk about unfair treatment in Hollywood by Tyler Perry, by Oprah, she talked about how they tried to keep her silent when she chose not to promote one of their movies for free. She was talking about pay. Basically, Tyler Perry said that she was difficult to work with and started that rumor around Hollywood, and it made her lose out on millions of dollars. She also talked about, mentioned that Oprah would find out about different roles that she was going to play, that Monique was going to play in, and Oprah would call and be like, hey, I want that role. So there was a lot of kind of blackballing. It was a lot going on in terms of gatekeeping and trying to keep Monique out. And she mentioned that One time Taraji even told her, because she got a lot of pushback. I remember this. It was a few years ago. I don't remember the exact date, but she did get a whole lot of pushback from the general public, telling her to be quiet and stop complaining and stuff like that. And it's like, people need to stop telling people to stop complaining when it comes to these kinds of things, because they're just kind of like, oh, well, she is just in Hollywood, she's spoiled. But a lot of times, the reason, and she mentioned this on Club Shay Shay, the reason they did not like her coming out is because she didn't do it a certain way, and she also doesn't look a certain way. She's bigger, and also the way that she came out with it, as opposed to the way Taraji, because Taraji P. Henson has been accepted in a way different way than Monique has. Monique wasn't just sitting there like crying. She didn't embody a broken down bigger person, if that makes sense. There's a lot of other things that go into it, but I do think that this interview that Monique gave on the heels of Cat Williams' interview with Club Shay Shay, it really is exposing a lot out there, and it's really exposing the fact that this whole facade of black excellence, because y'all know Oprah and what's his name, Pharrell, they were big proponents of talking about being black but not really being labeled black. I remember that was years ago. They are talking about like black excellence and all this kind of stuff, and you know what it means to be. It's a very aspirational type of blackness, but a lot of it is based in delusion. Also, during this Black History Month, Beyonce came out with the country album, which is a part of the 3-part renaissance. They say that rock is going to be next. I like 16 Carriages. I have not really been listening to it too much. I've been a little bit oversaturated with B. It's just been a lot going on, and then I do feel very conflicted that she has not really said much about different types of issues that are happening in the world, but also, what can we expect and look at the record industry in terms of the composition of those record executives and people who are the higher ups, the powers that be. So I have been feeling very conflicted. Not like I'm saying everybody that's a celebrity should be out here talking about different stuff, you know, talking about activism, global politics, but it is, you know, it's kind of like, it's already a billionaire. And the way the things are going these days, I understand representation, and I'm here for Beyonce reclaiming different types of musical genres that black people created, but that are primarily dominated by white people globally. But at the same time, we have seen how representation politics play out. Everybody want to talk about representation this, representation that, representation him, them, they, representation. But we need them dollars to talk these days. We need more than representation, because if we want to think about it, look at the music industry. It is dominated primarily by a lot of homogenous sounding music, a lot of light skin. If we look at the 90s, actually it was a little bit more diverse musically. It was a little bit more diverse in terms of who was big. Musically diverse, it was more diverse in terms of color. So we can't really even think about this kind of stuff in a linear fashion anymore. I'm here for the music, but at a certain point, I'm kind of just tired, I guess, like, of people kind of acting like I mean, yes, representation is important and stuff like that, but over 65% of black people can't even live and pay rent if they miss one paycheck. So at a certain point, it's just kind of annoying. I mean, if we want to talk about, let's talk about not, we can even not talk about Beyonce. Let's talk about the rap industry in general. And y'all know this is Black History Month. I like the way Jessie Wu says it on her show. This is Black Women's Black History, Black Women's Month. So let's get into it. The rap industry, a lot of rappers be really wanting to be head figures in the community and be seen as very important and instrumental to a lot of stuff and be recognized. But we don't see a lot of institutional help in terms of the safety net being brought up when it comes to a lot of musicians and rappers. Someone brought that up. I forgot who it brought it up on. I was watching some kind of interview, but it is very true. I forgot. Oh, I hope I don't remember who it was. Was it? Who was it? I forgot who brought it up. Who is that dude? Dr. Umar. Y'all know he's problematic, but I forgot. I think he did bring it up, and I was like, wow, this really does make a lot of sense because, I mean, a lot of these rappers got life insurance policies taken out on them and the contracts by the executives. So let's not even talk about that and the sacrifices involved. But thinking about all these rappers and stuff like that and the money and the showing off. Y'all know I live in Atlanta. I think there should be a bigger wave in terms of community accountability, in terms of giving back. Even thinking about what a legacy is. I remember, I think there was like a TikTok trend. It was talking about legacy and stuff like that. And it's like, legacy is not necessarily your kids. Now, people always talking about, now listen, this is Black Women's Black History, Black Women's Month. And on this Black Women's Black History, Black Women's Month, we gonna talk about the issues. We talking about the history, but we need to talk about the history of issues in order to look forward. History is circular, and history is the future. So on this Black Women's Black History, Black Women's Month, we go get into some tea. So we are sitting here talking about legacy. And I saw this black woman on there talking about how her legacy is what she leaves on this planet that can really benefit humanity. A legacy is you deciding to build a school. A legacy is leaving a college fund. Let's not even say college. A legacy is leaving a fund to help those in need. A legacy is getting a building, a social service kind of building, something like that. A legacy is an invention. Are y'all listening to me? Me escuchan? Me están escuchando? Escuchen ya. Listen. A legacy is not always your kids. Now, that is a big conversation that I think we need to have. Look at Nick Cannon, for instance. I'm pretty sure, besides a myriad of other delusional reasons, now I'm not saying that kids are a mistake. Y'all go out there and have kids. Y'all know I'm a uncle, auntie, whatever, to a lot of different kids. But to say that your primary reason for having kids is to leave a legacy, especially when you really don't have a legacy at the moment, and you don't really have any solid plans, that is, I think that's something that we would need to really think about. bringing more kids into the world does not necessarily solve the ills of the world. Putting all this hope and aspirations and dreams into a kid isn't really helping the present time. So I do think there is some accountability that needs to be, we need to rebalance, we need to rethink some things in the Black community, especially as it relates to legacy. I do feel a lot of times that we are still trapped in certain kinds of thinking in terms of community that keep us really bound within these gatekeeping limitations that don't help the larger community. For instance, people being like, I want to have a lot of kids because it's going to help me have a big legacy, I want my legacy. But then you have those kids and you don't even help them kids, let alone have the emotional capability to prompt some kind of healing that's needed for them to even have the capacity to go out and not have to worry about the trauma from your stuff, but to deal with other people. So that, how did we get on this? Anyway, I just think that Black people, we gotta really broaden how we're thinking. We have to broaden our spirituality. We have to broaden our limits for accepting each other and learning about each other and accepting different parts of each other. Because these are some times, like, I'm gonna go into some statistics right now, but let's talk about specifically Palestine. Now, there is a lot of contention around this in the Black community. I have heard a lot of different arguments. People argue that we always worried about other people's conditions and not really worried about ours. There is a talk about, you know, national security, of course. There's a talk about how we need to be doing certain stuff. Also, there's the other side of Palestine's connection to historically the Black civil rights movement. They were very supportive of the Black civil rights movement. And of course, y'all already know I'm not really here for the war. I'm not really here for all of that. I am definitely here for figuring out ways to just not be so violent. But I want people to think, let's look at the numbers, because y'all know I'm a Capricorn. I'm gonna bring it back to the numbers. That's what I want to talk about. And we have to understand, this is also from my studies in sociology, so this is not just me pulling figures, you know, out of my ass and stuff like that. But we have to really look at this country's history and understand just the amount of spending that has gone into different types of wars. So, I mean, the United States has gotten to be, quote unquote, the most powerful in the world due to a lot of imperialism of a lot of different countries. And these military bases, for instance, they take up a lot of the budget of the country. And so, looking at Palestine, I know a lot of people, some people don't really care about the violence or Israel or anything like that, but I do think in a broader conversation, Black people especially need to understand the connectedness of the global police state. I remember I was doing this paper on sociology, and it talked about the monopolization of violence by the state. So if you think about a monopoly, a state monopoly on violence, a monopoly means that a certain entity has exclusive power over something. So we're thinking about monopolies over violence. If you think about being black in the United States, we don't have a monopoly of violence. We have a monopoly of violence working against us in the form of the police, military, state. But for instance, we can't really go out and just start shooting up. And do not encourage that. But if y'all already know, like that White House stuff, January 6th, 2021? Yeah. Y'all know if that had been some people of color or some black people that stormed the White House, it would have, girl, I don't even know if they would have made it past the fence. That is because in the context of a monopoly of violence, it looks a certain way, and whiteness is a part of that. Whiteness is a part of it because white people have imperialized most of the world over these thousands of years. Now, we know China is a leading contender too, so I'm not even, or and there's a lot of different contenders, but we're talking about the West here. Like, so in those terms, there is a huge monopoly of violence, state violence, and it really does affect the ways that people see, it affects the ways that people see other countries also. So there is also a lot of propaganda that goes along with this, and there has been a lot of propaganda. We saw it with in 2001 in the Middle East, justifying wars. Propaganda justifies wars, but we, a lot of times, what the media, the biased media, really fails to talk about is the interconnectedness and the tactics. So a lot of times, those weapons that they are creating for war in other countries, they're also using those weapons against black people here. Those types of forms of torture and imprisonment that they're using internationally, they use those experiments here on black people. So we need to see the connections. I'm gonna dive into a little bit about why war is profitable, but we need to understand, especially as black people, us, the United States fighting wars and stuff in other countries is bigger than just a safety thing. It's because it's helping keep a whole economic institution in power. War has always been profitable. So we need to think about in terms of for whom. So just to give you some some stats here. This is a quote that I actually found that I really like. War is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. And so I have some figures here. You can go research them. But the United States has really begun upping its budget in terms of how much it spends on weapons. And the reasons that I'm bringing this up is because if we're talking billions of dollars here as part of the budget, but then the people here can't even pay their bills. Like, you got countries like France and Germany literally coming here and making documentaries on the United States, quote unquote, third world conditions. I've been watching them on YouTube. You can go look. But they, because they be having the subtitles and stuff, and the people be having French accents. These people are coming over here because it's like, it's so expensive. Inflation is another story. Like, girl, the inflation, it's like food has gotten so expensive since last May. And so just to give y'all an idea. Okay, so in terms of war. So we're just going to be talking about in very, this is in very simplistic terms, but a lot of times whenever these wars are started, it prompts the creation of more weapons, and it prompts the scientific, it prompts funding for scientific exploration for the advancement of technology specifically. Because, like I said, a lot of these technologies, they test them here and they test them abroad. But all of the technology is against primarily black and brown bodies, and dispendable black and brown bodies. And so let's see. Okay. So the U.S. spends hundreds of billions of dollars, both domestically and internationally, to advance U.S. interests, but some of the biggest beneficiaries are also some of the world's largest corporations. Okay, so most of the budget, this was back in 2022, most of the budget, about $389.5 billion, was spent on military contracts to secure weaponry and services. And grant you, this is from the Tennessee Outlook. This is an article I found online, and it links to the real stats. These weapons are for both U.S. stockpiles and shipped abroad to allies. So not only are we stockpiling weapons, we're also shipping them to allies. And if you look at the history of Latin America specifically, I know this because I did Latin American studies. If you look at specifically the history of Latin America and also other quote-unquote third world countries, we have sent weapons over there to fund dictatorships that eventually kind of came back to bite us in the ass. Talk about Saddam Hussein, the Middle East. But if you look at these, that we have gone over there, there's been war, and then we send over weapons. So this is globally, and also I want you to look up a million versus a billion. A billion is 999 million plus one. And I think it's like, I want people need to really understand. I'm putting this in the chat GPT just to try to give y'all an example, like, because 1 billion, 1 million and 1 billion is very, very, very different. Let's see. So let's see. Let's compare 1 million and 1 billion. If you have $1 million and you spend $1 every second, it would take you 11 days to spend all of that. Okay. All right. So this is the stark difference. I want y'all to see how big of a difference 1 million and a billion is. Let's see. Okay, so 1 million. 1 million is if you spend $1 every second, it would take you 11 days. 11 days, you spending $1 every second. 1 billion, which is what some people make in a year. If you have $1 billion and you spend $1 every second, it would take you 31 years. 31 years. And let's take it up one notch. 1 trillion. If you have $1 trillion and you spend $1 per second, it would take you 31,000 years to spend it all, girl. So just so y'all know, let's see. Actually, from 2000 to 2022, the United States debt has risen. From 3.5 trillion to 24 trillion. And between 2001 and 2022, the US spent $8 trillion on war. Now, what the fuck? So, most of these military contractor corporations, Lockheed Martin Corporation, Raytheon Technologies Corporation, and General Dynamics Corporation, those companies account for $297 billion in market capitalization. So, these companies also go and they lobby the government. Lobbying means you giving money to the government so that you can create, so that you can influence U.S. policy. For instance, since 2022, the United States has given $44 billion in military assistance. So now let's see. In 2022, what was the national student loan debt? Okay, so let's see. Student loans is $1.7 trillion. Jesus. Let's see how much. Okay, so how much would it take to house all the homeless? Let's see. So there are 580,000. So this is saying $14 billion annually. $14 billion annually to house. Sorry, I think people say houseless now. To house the $14.5 billion. So this is saying that there are 580 houses individuals in the United States. So $14 billion, and we've given Ukraine $44 billion, which I understand sometimes, you know, I understand that this is a larger part of foreign policy, but I'm just using these examples to give context, y'all. So literally $1 trillion, y'all, that's a lot of money, bro. Like, anyway, this is a lot of numbers, but this is all just to say, Black people, we need to be thinking about these broader dynamics. Also, I wanted to give you this quote. Okay. So in terms of war, to them, a perfect war is one that degenerates into a violent stalemate that creates an insatiable demand for arms and the replacement of worn-out communities or of worn-out equipment, while at the same time each side constantly tries to improve its weaponry and tactics. Profit is placed over lives, though it is arguably better if the war has relatively low casualties so that public support remains high and the war and the money it generates can continue. An even better scenario for an arms dealer is selling arms to another country that's engulfed in an everlasting war that their own country is not fighting. So getting, like, for instance, in Latin America, funding these dictatorships where they got war going on all the time, but it's kind of also in your interest. There might be oil reserves, different natural resources, you name it. So this is an everlasting war that their own country is not fighting, and better still if they are selling to both sides at the same time. So all this is very, very important, I feel like, for Black people to be thinking about in terms of this Black Women's Black History, Black Women's Month, Black Excellence, thinking about the broader issues, thinking about really becoming more active in understanding the ways that the money that we spend on these weapons in our country, it could be helping us. And some people might argue it won't be helping us anyway, but, you know, it's the first step. What else do we have? You know what I mean? So that's a little bit about that. I just think, especially this Black History Month, we need to really be thinking about the issues that are affecting Black people. We need to really be thinking about global solidarity with other movements, because we never know when we might have to leave this country. Am I playing? I ain't playing. But also, all of this to say, this is all has to do with Pluto in Aquarius also. So let's switch over to astrology a little bit. Pluto in Aquarius, the tarot card for Pluto in Pluto specifically is the Judgment card. And the Judgment card is about calling one to rise up. This is a definition from Biddy Tarot that I really like. To rise up and embrace a higher level of consciousness for the service of your highest good. Very also Aquarian vibes here. And the Judgment card, and when you look at it in the traditional Rider-Waite deck, it has an angel that is blowing the trumpet, and the people are looking up. It's a sense of atonement. It's being called to a higher level of consciousness, and is also being called to atone for the things that have been happened in the past, to atone for the seeds that ye hath sown in el pasado, in the past. So it's also about a spiritual awakening too. And one thing about Aquarius is it's Saturnian. So we have been going through, Pluto was in Capricorn before this, and it's now in Aquarius. And Capricorn and Aquarius are both Saturnian. Capricorn is Saturnian in a different way than Aquarius is. Aquarius looks to the future. Aquarius, based in Saturn, Saturn creates the pattern for the 3D space-time, for the fabric of space-time. Aquarius is also, in the sense of Saturnian, about the control and distribution of resources. So that is something that is very, very prevalent right now. Thinking about labor, outsource of labor. We just talked about these weapons, labor going into making those weapons. We're thinking, we gotta think big. So Pluto in Aquarius, it is not fully in Aquarius right now. It was in Aquarius from March until June 11th, and then it went back into Capricorn. And from January 20th to September 1st, Pluto will be in Aquarius this year, and it will be in Capricorn one last time from September 1st until November 19th. And so these are different retrogrades that Pluto goes through. And Pluto in Aquarius, it's a lot. This very beam me up Scotty type energy. Pluto specifically relates to Hades. Pluto relates to underground things, underground hidden agendas, systemic oppression. Pluto, if you think about the Roman deity Hades, ruled the underworld. Also has to do with wealth too. Pluto's orbit is 248 years, and so the orbit is really long, and it is a transgenerational planet, meaning that the influence is larger, longer term, and experienced in mass. The last time that we had a Pluto transit, well, Pluto in Aquarius transit, was around the time of when there was the American Revolution, the French Revolution, Haitian Revolution. Aquarius has to do with collective care, humanitarianism, and large-scale societal matters. It's also associated with rebellion and revolution. scientific breakthroughs. And so if we think about back in 1777 to 1798, a lot of the revolutions had to do with fighting against the monarchy and revolutionizing our governmental systems and the structures therein. So when we think about the French Revolution, that was the French proletariat fighting against the French bourgeoisie, the French monarchy. And before that, a lot of time, like with monarchies, they're still in place today, but with monarchies, they rule by quote unquote divine right rather than the people's vote. And we all know that democracy has been racist. So according to certain people, in terms of a monarchy, it's being like, you know, okay, so you were born in this certain family, so you have divine right to rule over this country because this family has, well, you know, the moon was facing this way when the baby was born, when King Henry was born, and so you have divine right. And a lot of times that is based in thousands of years of history. In China, they have monarchies, they have dynasties. All that is the same thing, but it's based in divine right rather than a group of people's quote-unquote vote, which is what they overthrew here in the United States. Also, the American Revolution, it was a revolution against being ruled by the British monarchy, which stayed in place, you know, but the French monarchy actually did, it broke down. It was a complete revolution, whereas over here, it was a fight against the British. Y'all know the Boston Tea Party, all that kind of stuff. It was a fight, but it became a quote-unquote democracy over here, which we saw it was a democracy of white men, but nonetheless a quote-unquote democracy that was not steeped in, that didn't focus on rulership by divine right. Now, some argue that there's been some stuff come out that the presidents is all related, but... You know, that's another day. That's another story for another day. So Pluto in Aquarius, I'm reading this. This was a Refinery 29 article that I really like. The movement of Pluto into Aquarius is set to have a significant impact on technology, space exploration, scientific progress, and society. You have to think we are in the age of information. We're in the age of space exploration too. So it's going to look different for us. That kind of revolution is going to look different. They do say that the revolution will not be in the form of weapons anymore, but it's an information wars. A lot of it is going to be using information as power, and that can be articulated a lot of different ways. So this will shift humanity into a new era of connectivity, prompting us to explore ways to engage with our neighbors and local communities. On a broader scale, we will find ourselves drawn to humanitarian pursuits that align with our personal values and goals. And then we see AI, the proliferation of AI, y'all. Oof. AI is going to be a big one. And I'm also going to be focusing a little bit more on AI. I don't know. Y'all don't know I have a full-time job, but I work in like tech and finance. And a lot of stuff is happening with AI. And we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit more. But that is a little bit about Pluto in Aquarius. But in terms of these celebrities, the hidden agendas coming out, it's definitely giving Pluto in Aquarius vibes during this Black Women's Month. So here are some other things that I'm going to be focusing on in some of the next episodes. Alien disclosure, extraterrestrial disclosure. It's a lot going on with that. Very Pluto and Aquarius vibes. The blurring of reality and the anti-intellectual movement. This is calling for everybody to check their sources. I'm going to really talk about the ways that we view things on the screen, but a lot of stuff is fake these days. Y'all, we need to really figure out, we need to understand information bias, understand validating different types of information, and also just going with your gut with certain stuff. But we need to really understand more on how to follow a certain scientific method for checking, so that we don't fall into, it's the election season coming up, so that we don't fall into these traps, y'all. AI, thinking about, there's been a lot of crimes that have been going on using AI voices. So think about, for those who, let's say, your mother, if your mother's living, or, you know, if you got a connection with her, your mother calls you and she's like, oh my God, I've been kidnapped. I need help. They telling me they need $1,000. Can you help me, please? And so you like, I've never had a ransom call before. You get the $1,000, you send it to them. And then you call your mother after you send you call your mother's cell phone. And she's like, I'm good. I'm at home. But weren't you just kidnapped? It's a lot of stuff happening with that. AI musicians using fake voices. Parasocial relationships, y'all. We really need to talk about this. Parasocial relationships. What is a parasocial relationship? I'm gonna give you a definition real quick. A parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship where one person extends emotional energy, interest, and time, and the other party, the persona, is completely unaware of the other person's existence. Parasocial relationships are most common with celebrities, organizations such as sports teams, or television stars. And so when we think about Pluto and Aquarius, we're seeing a lot of this stuff come out. A lot of this influencer culture, a lot of celebrity culture, it really does depend on parasocial relationships and the faith that we put into people. Even thinking about Beyonce and, you know, thinking about Black Liberation and stuff like that. But then one of these artists, songwriters, just came out and said that she, this is alleged, I'm not trying to get sued, but that saying that she don't be paying people all the royalties that they deserve, saying that she be taking 25-30%, but then talking about, you know, Black Liberation. We need to put some dollars behind the liberation, the liberatory whoop-de-woo. So that's all I'm saying. Like, I mean, we got to keep it real. So in this Pluto and Aquarius time, I'm just saying, I think people needs to really be thinking about what's going on. You know, we need to really be thinking and looking at things from a more critical lens. Whew, I'm tired. So that was the first episode, y'all. We back. I got a lot more things to talk about, and we're gonna be taking things in kind of a new direction, but I'm really excited. All things Pluto and Aquarius. I think I forgot to also mention I am Aquarius rising. So I think I just got this new inspiration just to really, we're about to really dive into the Aquarian things. According to my analytics, I saw that the CERN episode actually did the best out of all of my episodes. It's like the highest performing, I'm pretty sure. So I saw that y'all really be fucksing with the things about, you know, the technology and the futuristic stuff. So we're going to really be focusing in more on that for these next episodes. But as always, thank you so much for your support. Look out for those oils to be dropping. Your girl is on it with these oils, honey. Like, period, period, period. So keep a watch out. And I'm sending y'all so much love. Thank you so, so, so much for your support. And until we meet again, see y'all in these IG streets. Subscribe to my newsletter. I'll put the link down below. Okay, all right.